This is KOIN Portland. It's 11 o'clock. Here's CBS News.
CBS News. Jimmy Carter is now predicting a first ballot victory at the Democratic National Convention. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Obviously pleased with his victory in the New Hampshire primary on Tuesday, Carter said he thinks he'll grab the nomination and has no fear of the other candidates. Carter also said he thinks Arizona Congressman Morris Udall could be his most formidable opponent in the months ahead. Carter was asked about Ronald Reagan's narrow loss to President Ford on the Republican side.
New Hampshire was a natural place for him. The governor was for him, the state officials were for him, the major newspaper there, the union leader, was for him. He got an early start. He came there quite a number of times. Ford only came once, twice for two brief periods. And everybody thought 2 weeks ago that Reagan would just sweep New Hampshire. And for him to get defeated there, in my opinion, was a very severe setback for him.
Reagan does not share Carter's view on that. The former California governor said he could not be more pleased with the New Hampshire results, which showed the president narrowly edging Reagan. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Two defense psychiatrists were on the witness stand Wednesday at the bank robbery trial of Patricia Hearst in San Francisco. Dr. Martin Orne was being questioned when the day's proceedings ended and will be back on the stand in the morning. A report on the other testimony from George McManus of station KCBS.
A witness undergoing 2 days of cross-examination was Dr. L.J. West. The UCLA professor extensively interviewed Patricia Hearst after her arrest and came away concluding the defendant was a classic case of coercive persuasion, as near brainwashing as you can get. Prosecutor Bancroft wanted to know if Dr. West had solicited viewpoints from Patricia Hearst's friends. Effley Bailey objected. Your Honor, said Bancroft, he can't object to that. The judge bristled, almost shouting. If you're saying he can't object, Mr. Bancroft, I'll tell you to go soak your head. The prosecutor went through a different line of questioning, bringing up Patricia Hearst's occasional experimentation with LSD and mescaline. Then Bancroft mentioned she also used marijuana, to which Effley Bailey objected again, angrily observing, is the government saying that everyone who toots grass is a bank robber? George McManus for CBS News, the Federal Building, San Francisco.
Former President Richard Nixon has left Peking, traveling now to another part of China. Before leaving the capital, the former president and his wife hosted a state banquet. Mr. Nixon predicted that the United States and China will complete the bridge of understanding, respect, and lasting friendship begun 4 years ago. Senator Barry Goldwater, Republican of Arizona, says that Mr. Nixon could do the country a favor by staying in China. Goldwater said the former president is breaking a law by making statements in Peking about U.S. foreign policy. President Ford on Wednesday told a group of newspaper editors at the White House that the economic outlook for the nation's future is good. The president says he thinks by the middle of next year the country will have recovered from the recession. Three senators have urged President Ford to propose an immediate U.S.-Soviet moratorium on the testing of long-range cruise missiles. The senators also voiced strong support for Secretary of State Kissinger's arms control talks with Moscow. The senators, Democrats Edward Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey, and Republican Jacob Javits, said their appeal is an effort to stop what Javits called ultra-conservative criticism of strategic arms talks with Russia. Now this.
If you're an advertiser, you know ad costs are way up. But media experts say radio is up much less than other media, so radio helps fight adflation. And radio sells. Listen to Paul Farber, VP Marketing, Blue Nun Wine.
During the life of Blue Nun's radio campaign, a period roughly comparable to that in which the wine industry grew a remarkable 69%, Blue Nun grew an astounding 1,700%.
The medium Blue Nun used exclusively radio. Now Ed Ram, head of his own agency who uses radio for In Jeans apparel chain.
The results have been phenomenal. Sales in 2 years have gone up better than eightfold.
From Blue Nun wine to Blue Jeans, radio sells any type of product and fights adflation. Call this station. We'll suggest radio ideas that will work for your business. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
The General Accounting Office of Congress reports that the 800-mile Alaska oil pipeline should be completed by the target date of July 1st of next year. The cost of this project is hard to pin down, but the government says it appears to be around $6.4 billion. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, Multnomah County Health Officer Hugh Tilson has issued a directive to all hospitals, nursing homes, and other care facilities to voluntarily restrict their visitors. Dr. Tilson's order comes in the middle of what is an influenza epidemic, a wave of viral sickness not expected to peak for at least another 2 weeks. Dr. Tilson is asking these healthcare institutions to keep their visitors restricted to immediate family. It's hoped that the restriction can keep the outbreak of the flu down to a minimum. In a somewhat related story, Douglas County Health Officer Dr. James Gray said today flu has reached near epidemic proportions in that area. Three Douglas County school districts reported absences as high as 25%. Authorities in Columbia County are reassessing and reorganizing their search for a Rainier school bus driver who has been missing for 2 weeks. 25-year-old Vicki Brown has been unreported since she returned to the bus garage after making a late run on February 28th. TriMet has been awarded an $11,900,000 federal grant by the Department of Transportation to help build the transit mall in downtown Portland. Attorney General Lee Johnson ruled today that the pay raises granted Jackson County elected officials in 1974 were illegal and they must be repaid. He said the raises totaling nearly $14,000 were improperly authorized because they had not been approved before the start of the new fiscal year. That's a requirement of state law. Junior and senior high schools in the Evergreen District adjoining Vancouver have been placed on probationary status by the Washington Board of Education, the second accrediting agency to withhold approval from that district. Funeral services were held in Seattle today for Carl Smith, the son of a slave and a Cherokee Indian mother, who died Sunday at the age of 117 years old. There's a move underway in the North Salem suburb of Keyser to incorporate the community as an independent city. An organizational meeting was held today to form an ad hoc committee to study the issue, and a town hall meeting is set for March 2nd at the Keyser Fire Hall. Weather forecast, look for some rain tonight. Possibly, if you're in the hills, you might have some rain and snow mixed. Lows 25 to 35, highs 45 to 50. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The title of our drama is General Laughter. Let me explain its derivation. In other times, playwrights often ended their comedic works with the overall stage direction, exit all amid general laughter. That meant that the characters at the finale should joyously troop off the stage the quickest way they could, thus leaving the audience with a warm glow of satisfaction that everything had, after all, turned out all right. However, by so informing you at the start as to our play's title, we by no means intend to reassure you as to its outcome.
Listen, I want to tell you something.
Go ahead.
Promise you won't laugh.
How can I promise till I know what it is?
Promise or I won't tell you.
If it's funny, I'll laugh.
You laugh and I'll kill you. I will, I'll kill you. You understand?
Hello?
mystery drama, General Laughter, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Mercedes McCambridge.
It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
What will a penny buy these days besides a gumball or a one-cent stamp? Well, I'll tell you, it'll buy a 6-foot Lufkin tape measure from your nearby True Value Hardware Store. Hi, Pat Summerall here with the details. When you visit a participating True Value Hardware Store and buy the Lufkin 25-foot power return tape at its regular price of just $6.97, you get a 6-foot slimline tape measure for just 1 cent more. The Lufkin 25-foot tape locks open for easy, accurate measuring. Then it retracts automatically at just a touch of the power return button. The safety yellow blade is easy to read and easy to see. And the rugged chrome case lasts for years. Buy this professional quality tape measure for just $6.97 and get the Lufkin 6-foot slimline household tape for just 1 cent more. Find out just how much a penny is still worth during the Lufkin 1 cent sale at your participating True Value Hardware store. Look under Hardware in the yellow pages and remember you can charge it on Master Charge at many stores.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. The prophet Joel spoke in the name of God. It shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So pay attention to your visions and dreams. They may contain more than you imagine. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
Let me set the scene for you. We are in someone's living room, high on the 11th floor of a modern apartment building. It's an attractive room, tastefully decorated in beige and white with blue accents in the pillows and an occasional chair. There are long windows at one end which give onto a balcony just big enough for two outdoor chairs and a tiny table between them. The kitchenette is at the other end of the room, partially hidden by a serving shelf. In front of the shelf are two high stools. On the shelf is a tape recorder.
I want you to listen to this. It only runs about 40 minutes. If it doesn't strike you as the most asinine thing you ever heard... Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't call it asinine. That sounds cold and unfeeling, and I honestly don't think I'm that kind of a man. I really don't. But you'll have to admit, after you've heard it, that it isn't exactly the kind of thing a man likes to come home to after a hard day's work. If you can listen to it dispassionately, not become all bogged down by emotion, it'll give you some idea of what was going on. Now, there's nothing for a few seconds. She didn't know too much about setting up a tape recorder, so it takes a little while. You'll see.
I have never recorded anything before, except voiceover commercials, and that was in a studio where they had engineers who took care of all those grubby little details. I've never before had the urge to tape record a suicide. Okay, it works. Things mechanical scare me. I always expect them to blow up right in my face. But then I expect everything to blow up right in my face.
I get a part in a play, I expect the theater to burn down. I get a commercial, I expect the company to go out of business. I get a running part on a soap opera, I expect to be written out by the end of the week. I think failure. I chase success, but I think failure. So please don't let me fail at this. Whatever saint is in charge of suicide, please, please, please don't let me fail at this. Now, I got the 1, 2, 3 bottles of sleeping pills. That ought to do it. I don't know how many pills to take. There's nobody I can call up and ask. I really came to this little rendezvous unprepared. See what I mean? I forgot a glass of water to wash the pills down. Honestly, I'm dumb. I'm dumb, 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 right to the end.
The tape runs on here with nothing for less than a minute. It doesn't take long to get a glass of water. I want you to understand that there was absolutely nothing I could have done to stop this thing. I mean, I'm not God. I have my limitations. Boy, do I ever. There are days when I'm just one big bunch of limitations. Nothing else. When the most I can do is get up, get dressed, and go to work. When I get to the station house, habit or memory or something will take over because I sure can't. Well, you don't want to listen to my tale of woe. All right, that was the water glass being set down. Now it starts again.
Okay, all set. One big glass of water, 3 little bottles of pills. So, take a pill, madam. Go ahead, take one. Take a lot, take 2. As my grandmother used to say when she passed the cookies. And we all thought that was terribly funny, no matter how many times we'd heard it before. Take a lot, take 2. Okay, so I'll take a lot. I'll take 2. That was easy. Now, the purpose of this tape recording is to, it's to record my last thoughts, I guess, if any. Yeah, there are some. And they keep chasing round and round in my brain. Still, what I would like is to tell the truth. For once. I have days when I'm not sure I haven't been lying from sunup to sundown. Even my dreams are lies. That's some days. Other days? No. You know what Sarah Siddons wanted chiseled on her tombstone? The words, "I was an honest actress," just that, nothing more. Well, I tried to be an honest actress. And now at the very end of my life, I would like to try to be an honest person. You know? I mean, not to hold back anything, just to let it all hang out, as the kids say these days. I don't know why they talk so funny. Why can't they just say, speak the truth? I want you to know that, I want you to know why I have to do this, why I think I'm driven to it. Not that I know why, I don't. But maybe if I keep on talking, something will surface. I've chosen to put this on tape instead of writing it down, because when you write things down, there's always the temptation to go back and read it over and change it, make it look better, make it read better. I don't want to do that. See, what I want is for every word to register precisely as it comes out of my mouth, out of my head, and that's why the tape. So, to begin with, I don't feel anything. Maybe a little music could help. Wish I had a record of Peggy Lee's. Is that all there is? That'd be perfect. That'd be the absolutely perfect thing for right now. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, let's keep dancing. I ought to have that record. I could go down to the store and get it right now. No. That's an excuse not to go through with this. You're dodging and ducking just the way you've always dodged and ducked. Is that all there is?
Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, it isn't enough. If that's all there is, it isn't enough. I can't go on any longer. Who is that Hollywood mogul who said in the ambulance on the way to the hospital? He said he looked up at his wife and he said, "It's too tough. It's just too tough." And he died right then and there. He died. I think it was Harry Cohn who said that. Well, Harry Cohn, I'm with you. Not crying. What am I crying for, Harry Cohn? I never even met Harry Cohn. I was never in Hollywood. I was always a New York actress. New York actresses are devoted to the theater. I couldn't go to Hollywood. I had to stay here where the theater was. That was the reason. That and the fact that Hollywood never made me an offer. It's truth-telling time, all right. I never had a decent offer anywhere. It's more the last time I saw anybody about any kind of a part in the theater. It was almost 6 months ago. A little pipsqueak of a producer nobody ever heard of said to me, "I see nothing for you in my first three productions." Jiminy. So I am reduced to parts on daytime television where I never know the lines, not really, no matter how hard I study them. And I know what he'd say. He'd say, "Nobody's forcing you to be an actress." Of course, as usual, he's right. Only I know that as long as I live, I'll never be able to stop trying. Ergo, stop living. Which brings me right back to where I started, with the pills. Why don't I feel sleepy, at least? I don't. I feel wide awake and I feel
hungry. Oh, no. I can't feel hungry. Nobody in the process of taking her own life ought to be hungry. Now, that's too much. That's embarrassing. Nevertheless.
Time out here for a minute or so. It's true. I did used to say, "Nobody's forcing you to be an actress." I admit it. I wasn't always sympathetic. Actually, I hardly ever was. Because to begin with, it's always seemed to me that being an actress is 9/10 suffering and hardly any joy at all. In fact, you have to be pretty much of a masochist to even think about being an actress. All that being rejected over and over and over again. I know I couldn't stand it. I wouldn't stand it. I'd kill somebody first and go to jail. Here she starts up again.
Two saltines. That shouldn't interfere with anything. And I'll think better if my stomach isn't empty, maybe. I suppose if you feel hungry, you don't really want to die. That's what all the smart people would say. They'd say, "Don't be silly. If you can eat two saltines, you can go on living." Well, smart people, poo-poo to you. It's not so easy to end everything. Not easy at all. And maybe that's my last message to the world. If you think ending it all is a snap, you better think again and think hard, because that's what it is, hard. It isn't just slipping out of the world the way you slip out of a room at a party you found boring. Why don't I feel something? Drowsiness or wooziness or something. I never felt so clear-headed in my life. I ought to feel something. I didn't even eat the second cracker. Didn't eat any breakfast, no lunch. I ought to feel something. Oh, Lord. They're not going to trick me up on this, too. Not the last gesture of my life. They're not going to make this ridiculous, too. Like everything else, they're not going to make me a failure in this, too. I won't stand for that. I won't. I'll take the rest of the pills. I'll take all of the pills. Where's the bottle? The other bottle. This one's empty. What does that say there? One capsule three times a day for longer, stronger nails? What nails? Oh, no. I've been taking gelatin capsules. Gelatin to make my nails grow. Oh, no. I couldn't be that dumb. I'm not that dumb. Silly
gelatin things have been in the medicine cabinet for years. That's just too much, trying to kill myself with gelatin. I can't even do it right when it comes to something like... Oh, I almost laugh myself. Well, anyhow, when I do finally bump myself off, I'll probably have nice long nails. Lovely corpse, beautiful nails. That's the old joke about the two men looking at their friend in the coffin, and one says, he looks wonderful, and the other one says, why shouldn't he? He just got back from Florida. That's a joke. That's a real joke. I wonder if somebody will look at my dead body and say she has lovely nails, and somebody else say, why not? She just took a whole bottle of gelatin pills. Gee, I hope so. I hope somebody says that, because that's really pretty funny. I laugh myself, only I seem to be crying. And I am so tired.
Once upon a time, a poet wrote, I am tired of tears and laughter, and men that laugh and weep. Of what may come hereafter for men that sow and reap. I am weary of days and hours, blown buds of barren flowers, desires and dreams and powers, and everything but sleep. We'll come back to you shortly with Act Two.
Bush, St. Louis.
You know, traditionally, credit has been a man's realm. But today, as more women become part of the workforce, they are realizing the need to establish their own credit identity. And this is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus with a few tips for women who wish to establish a credit rating. First of all, open a checking and or savings account in your own name, even if you already have a joint account with your husband. Apply for and use at least two credit cards. Open a charge account in your own name at a local store and establish a line of credit at your bank. According to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, applicants for credit must be judged on their own merits. And if you feel you've been unjustly denied credit, talk to the credit agency or the lending institution, and you just go there and find out why. And if you're not satisfied with their explanation, contact the regional office of the Federal Trade Commission.
We left our desolate heroine between tears and laughter. Midway in the supposed act of taking her own life, she discovered that the bottle she had thought held sleeping pills contained instead gelatin capsules. Gelatin to make the nails grow long. This is a most distressing discovery to make when one has embarked on the drastic enterprise of suicide. We pick up her story where she left off, between tears and laughter.
Now I have to start the whole silly business all over again because I took the wrong pills. But
These little fellas, these are the right ones, because it says right on the bottle, one capsule as needed for sleep. That's what it says, so I'm not wrong this time. Only I drank up all the water, see? It's always something. Now I gotta get some more water.
Let me tell you, I haven't been married to an actress for 12 years without learning something. You know, people generally think actors are very conceited, always showing off, always looking for applause. That's only partly true. The rest of the truth is that their little egos are so shaky that the only way they can get through life is by pretending to be somebody else. They can't wait to stop being themselves and start being some other person. I don't understand that. I never have, I never will, but I swear to you it's true. What I said about actors is true, and don't forget it. They're shadow people, living in the light of the imaginary people that they pretend to be. Personally, I think that's very sad.
I have everything a woman is supposed to want. Lovely apartment, lovely furniture, lovely children. I see, isn't it terrible? I put my furniture ahead of my children. I put this damn apartment and the rotten furniture ahead of my children in my list of worldly blessings. That just goes to show you I'm a lousy mother. I'm a lousy wife. Gee, I ought to start to feel something pretty soon. And in the meantime, some music. I meant to put on some music. Why didn't I do that? Why don't I do that now?
I don't know what all this guff about being a rotten wife and mother is meant to be. Actually, I don't know what a wife or a mother is supposed to be. All I know is the kids seem happy and I'm happy. Happy? What am I saying happy? I don't even know what happy is. I think I'm happy. I don't feel unhappy. Not often, anyway. Not too often. So I guess I'm happy. I know the kids are. I mean, they look happy. I never ask them, are they happy? It's not the kind of question you ask. Anyway, I never asked them, never asked myself either. I never asked anybody. I mean, do you go around asking people, are you happy?
Well...
Back to the tip.
We'll see if the music helps. What's going to happen to my children? Well, they don't need me. They're past needing me. Well, the real truth, the real bottom line truth is that I want to be what my children are. I want to be helpless and dependent and taken care of. I want somebody to bring me food and put on my clothes and take them off and wash them and iron them. I want somebody to be responsible for me because I'm just not capable, that's all. I just can't do it anymore. Oh, no. Ah, now my mascara's running. My eyes hurt. I probably look terrible, all smeared. I don't want to be a lovely corpse with long nails and smeared mascara. That's funny. Well, anyway, like it or not, I'm not going to wash my face and I'll put on fresh mascara. If it is the last thing I ever do.
There's a long pause here for the mascara bit. Crazy, isn't it? I mean, putting on fresh mascara to look attractive, dead. Well, you heard it. You heard the tape. What do you think? I mean, you know, you read books, you see plays and movies, whatever, and a suicide is always... Well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of solemn. It's very dramatic. I mean, at least it's always like that in books and films. It's never trivial or clumsy or ludicrous. Never. Seems to me... Life is full of pathetic things. I know my life is. Things that make you look foolish instead of tragic. Insignificant when you want to look impressive. More than I ever admit. More than anybody ever admits. Why don't they? Why don't I? Vanity. That's why. Just simple human vanity. That's why this tape is very important to me. I think it should pick up again right about now.
I'll just sit right here and put on this dumb mascara. Oh, boy. My hands are shaking. Oh, for Pete's sake, I can't use the drinking water to dip the brush in. Now I gotta have warmer water. I tell you, it's not easy, this. It's not easy at all to leave this earth.
You see what I mean? Silly things like warmer water. I mean, it's childish, isn't it? I don't mean that it isn't serious. I don't mean to put anybody down if they've got to the point where life is so hard that they'd even think of something like suicide. But life is hard. It's hard for everybody. I don't care who you are. Rich, poor, famous, unknown. It's hard. Just like on the tape. It's tough. And I guess sometimes for some people it's just too tough. You know, I have often thought that maybe the best thing you can do for a child is to warn him that life is very tough. So it won't come as a terrible shock to him later on. Well, maybe life for a youngster is tough, too, and he's just pretending, like you are, to have it by the tail. Maybe that's the truth. I don't know why I never thought of that before. But you see now why I feel this tape is very important?
I have never felt a bigger fool than I do right now. But I don't care. Set up the mirror. Wet the little brush. Here we go.
You want to know something? I spent a lot of time working on dope addiction in my precinct. It's a terrible thing, dope addiction. Terrible. But it doesn't surprise me anymore that people get addicted. What surprises me is that some people don't. That's the amazing thing, that most people stumble along from cradle to grave with no outside help at all. That's what surprises me. That most people can do it. We really ought to be more sympathetic to one another, seeing that we're all in the same boat. We ought to care more. That's what it comes down to, I think. We should have more feeling. We should quit trying to be so smart and feel more. Starting to cry myself. Well,
there is one eye done. How many times has he watched me put on mascara and said, "You don't need that stuff," and I said, "Yes, I do," and he said, "No, you don't," and then we were off and running again. Gee, this is taking too long. I could just jump off the balcony. 11 stories up, that'd be quick, that'd be easy. Yeah, that's the idea. I could leave him a note. What could I say to my dear husband? Just stepped out for a minute. I can't say that. Oh, what's the matter with me? I'm trying to be flip, I'm trying to be funny, I'm crazy, I must be crazy. I feel it, really. I'm out of my mind. Lord, what am I going to do now? Oh, I know. I know what I'll do. 4, 6.
Oh. 21st Precinct.
Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, this is me. What's up?
Oh, listen to me. Listen carefully. Are you listening carefully?
Sure, baby. What's the matter?
Well, I've been trying for an hour and a half to kill myself.
What? You trying to do what?
Kill myself.
Honey, don't kid around.
I'm not kidding around.
Baby, listen to me. Now, talk a little slower or something, will you? I'm not reading at all, honey.
Okay. I have decided to kill myself.
Yeah?
And I got all the stuff here, all the sleeping pills. I took one whole bottle of pills.
All right, go on.
Only they turned out to be gelatin pills that I bought to make my nails grow.
Well, did you take any pills at all? I mean, besides the gelatin?
Oh, sure.
How many?
I don't know. Who cares how many?
Well, I'd just like to know.
What's the difference? I, I've decided now that I'm going to jump out the window.
Honey, sweetheart, please, honey.
So I thought that I was going to leave you a note. I mean, not just jump and not leave you anything. Anyhow.
Keep talking.
I wanted to write you a note, see, a farewell note, you know.
Yeah, just keep talking to me, honey.
And, I tried to think what I could say.
Uh-huh.
I thought I'd write down the first thing that came into my head.
Yeah?
Well, the first thing that came into my head, and I could see the words like headlines on a front page of a newspaper. I could see them there. I could see the words, you know, I could see them. Boy, I'm getting woozy.
All right. Just keep talking to me, honey. Tell me, what were the words? What came to mind?
I don't know if I could tell you.
No, you can tell me.
No, I don't
Well,
think...
you must have wanted to tell me, or you wouldn't have called, honey. Now, what were they?
Okay. If I tell you, and you laugh, I'll kill you.
Tell me.
Promise you won't laugh.
If it's funny, I might laugh. Come on. What were the words?
I was going to write... Just stepped out for a minute.
Well, that's pretty funny. Everything considered.
Are you laughing?
Kind of.
I told you I'd kill you.
It's all right if you kill me, honey. But leave yourself alone, please.
Listen, I'm going to hang up now, see?
Now, baby, talk to me, do you hear?
No.
Listen to me, I'm not laughing. I mean, didn't you mean for me to laugh when you called up?
All right, listen.
Think now. Think, huh? I mean, you know you can always make me laugh. That's one reason I fell in love with you, honey. You made everything so easy to take.
No,
are you listening to me, darling?
No. I'm getting sleepy. I have to hang up.
No. Don't hang up now. Don't hang up.
Is there anyone whose ego has never despaired, who has never been overwhelmed by the sensation of helplessness and the inability to go on with the arduous business of living? Even some animals, we are told, faced with unbearable pain or unbearable loss, stop taking nourishment and rather quickly die. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. The touch to height you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Need a full-size car? Well, you came to the right place. Take LeSabre, a genuine family car with lots of nifty Buick touches and room for six. Or the elegant Electra, the car that wrote the book on Buick luxury. Or Riviera, the luxury car that's also a great personal road car. The full-size Buicks. If you're looking for a place where you and your free spirit can really get together, this is it.
If I could leave one thing with you, what I'd leave the first behind. I'd like to leave a bright blue sky, my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd be free. A life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy. This is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your Lung Association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
unhappy heroine has determined to do away with herself. In addition, to record her thoughts on tape during the process of self-destruction. Firm though her intent may have been at the start, she has run into difficulties. Difficulties of her own making, to be sure, but nonetheless, effective little roadblocks.
Somebody in there? Anybody home? It's Harry from downstairs. The doorman, Harry. You want to let me in? I'm using the pass key in case you... Anybody home? Your husband called me, told me to come up here. Anybody home? What's that noise? I hear something. Well, you know, a tape recorder. What's that on for? It must be some reason. Somebody turned it on and went out. That's not like... Love of... lady. Lady, what is it? You faint or what? Oh, she's breathing. She's not dead. What do I do? Call the super. House phone. Wait, we're in the kitchen. Yeah. Call the super. Oh, boy. Mr. Shattuck, this is Harry. I'm an 11K. Listen, there's a lady. Yeah, the lady that lives here. I don't know her name. They're new in the building. Listen, her husband called me a while back, said to come up here, see if there was anything wrong. Boy, she's passed out on the floor. I think she's sick. She fainted or something. There's a tape recorder going. You know, she's some kind of an actress. Well, what do I do now? Call a doctor? Well, her husband's a police lieutenant. Do I call him? Well, maybe I better, huh? Oh, Mr. Shattuck, I think I hear somebody at the door. Yeah, I do. Maybe it's him.
Harry?
I hope so. It's him, Mr. Shattuck.
Harry.
It's your wife. She's fainted or something. See, over there?
Good Lord.
And this tape recorder was running when I came in.
Turn it off, Harry. Unplug it.
Well, that's what went on while you were passed out, honey. That's the end of the tape. What do you think, hmm?
Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Oh, I don't know.
I do.
I just thought you should hear it.
Terrible.
Why? Why is it terrible?
Because I couldn't do it.
You sure tried.
And I couldn't do it. I loused up the whole thing. I couldn't even take my own life. I couldn't even do that right. I never do anything right.
Oh, come on now. I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
No, you don't. Lots of things you don't know.
You can say that again. Why didn't you just let me die?
Oh, come on. I couldn't do that. I'm a policeman.
Oh, what's that got to do with it?
Well, killing yourself is against the law.
You're kidding.
No, not. It's on the statute books. Nobody is supposed to commit suicide. It's illegal.
Well, they do. Send you to jail, give you the death penalty. Suicide is punishable by death. How do you like that?
You feeling a little better, honey?
Oh, I think so.
Kids will be home from school pretty soon.
Oh, don't tell them.
No.
No. I mean, they wouldn't understand. They're too young.
Somebody at the door.
Better see who it is.
You be all right?
Sure, I'll be all right. Go on. Go ahead, don't worry.
I'll get rid of him. Come right back.
Take your time.
Coming. Oh, hello, Harry.
Is she all right?
She's fine, Harry.
Oh, that's good. We were worried, Mr. Shattuck and I.
Shattuck?
Super. I was talking to him before you came in.
Oh, well, you're very nice to be concerned. So's he.
Everybody here likes your wife. We all like her a lot.
That's good. I'll tell her.
You and her haven't lived here very long, but everybody likes you both, especially her, because she's so cheerful, you know?
Cheerful?
Yeah. Always got a little joke going, you know. Some little joke. It livens up the day.
Yeah.
Some people are so frozen faced, you know, so kind of sour, but not your wife. She's always smiling, making some kind of a joke. It livens up the day.
I'll tell her what you said.
She's really all right.
Fine.
Oh, good. Well, when I saw that tape recorder running, I figured, well, she was rehearsing something. I know she's an actress. Was she rehearsing something?
Well, kind of.
And there was a saltine lying there beside the tape recorder. Maybe that's all she'd had to eat, and she felt faint. You know, something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah. Well, you tell her I'm glad she's okay.
I'll tell her.
I'd hate for anything to happen to her. Her and her little jokes.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks very much, Harry. I'll tell her. Honey?
Yeah?
There's a doorman. Harry.
What do you want?
He wanted to know how you are.
Oh, that was nice of him.
He said to tell you that he wouldn't want anything to happen to you. You and your little jokes.
Jokes? What jokes?
He said you made little jokes.
I don't remember any little jokes.
Said they liven up his day.
He tells me I'm too thin. I tell him he's too fat. We kid back and forth. That's all. There are no jokes.
Well, to him, I guess they're jokes. Anyway, they liven up his day.
Well, I'm glad.
He likes you.
How do you know?
He said so. He said Mr. Shattuck likes you, too.
Mr. Shattuck?
Yeah, super.
Well, what do you know?
I like you.
You do?
A lot.
Well, the way you should.
Yeah. I like your little jokes. They liven up my day.
No, you're kidding me now. You're trying to make me laugh.
Is that such a bad thing to do?
No. I guess not.
Well, who's that? The kids, huh?
No, they wouldn't ring the bell. They got keys.
I'll be right back. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Coming. Oh, Harry.
I forgot something. Got all the way downstairs and I remembered. Here.
What's this?
Some cinnamon buns from Mrs. Shattuck. I was saying your wife is so thin, I keep telling her. I think she fainted today because she never eats enough. So Mrs. Shattuck said, here, I should bring her these.
Oh, well, that's really very nice. Very nice. Gee, thanks. I'll call Mrs. Shattuck later and thank you. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
I hope everything's all right.
Oh, sure. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Harry. Honey?
Who was it?
It was Harry again. He brought you something. From Mrs. Shattuck. Cinnamon buns.
Oh, no. How can they be so nice? They're so nice.
Oh, all right, come on now.
They're so nice and I'm so terrible.
No, darling.
I can't stand it.
You just think you're the worst person in the whole world, don't you?
I know it.
Well, you're not.
Oh, you don't know.
No, you're not, because I am.
You?
Yes.
You don't gripe all the time and complain and hate everybody and wish that they'd all go away and leave you alone and not keep expecting things of you. Expecting love when you haven't got any to give. When you're just barely holding yourself together to keep from screaming. You're not like that.
How do you know?
Because you're not.
But you know, there's some nights when I come home and you're here and I look at you and I can't think who you are.
You're kidding.
No. I mean, it comes to me a little later, but for a minute there, maybe I'm so bogged down with work and not doing it right and being scared all the time.
You scared?
And I see this woman fussing around in the kitchen, and sometimes it takes me 2-3 minutes to realize that it's you and that we're married.
You never told me that.
Well, I guess maybe I thought you'd hate me if I told you.
Hate you?
Yeah. And you know, sometimes when you say to me, do you love me? I mean, you say that quite a lot, you know.
I know.
Well, there are times when you say, do you love me? And I say, of course, or, sure I love you.
And I never believe it.
But sometimes it isn't true.
It isn't true?
I mean, that right at that very moment, maybe it isn't true. Right then, maybe I don't love you. And what I should say is, well, not this instant, but ask me again and maybe in 20 minutes or ask me tomorrow and then I'll probably love you. That's what I should say, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'll hurt your feelings and make everything worse.
Yeah, but that's funny.
It is?
Yeah, I'd understand that.
You really like it when things are funny, don't you?
Well, it makes things a little easier.
You know, honey, I'm sorry that I'm not funny. I never was.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know any jokes. I mean, some people know jokes. Other people don't. I mean, you know jokes. You make jokes with the doorman, with anybody.
Well, yeah, but that's nothing.
Wait. You know, I just thought of one.
All right.
I think it's the first joke I ever heard in my life. Let me see if I can. How's it going now?
Well, it's all right. You know.
No, I got it. There's this man who comes running into his doctor's office, you see? And he says to his doctor, I've got Bright's disease, and he's got mine.
That's funny.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
I mean, he says to his doctor,
don't explain,
you know.
It. I understand it. He says, I got Bright's disease, and he's got mine.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's funny. That's... Is that really the first joke you ever heard?
Oh, years ago.
And you haven't heard any since?
Well, not that I remember.
Boy, that's sad. Only one joke in your whole life.
I don't care. How do you feel now?
Better.
You look better.
Well, I had a good cry and I heard a good joke.
You don't want to die anymore, do you?
Not right this minute. Ask me again tomorrow.
Honey...
I'm so miserable.
I know you are. Sure you are.
I feel so lost.
Oh. Darling, honey, you think maybe if you gave up the acting business...
What? You'd... Give it up. Listen here, I played Medea, Euripides. How could I give it up?
Okay.
It was only in a gymnasium in Omaha, but I got great notices.
All right, okay.
In the first scene, Medea says to the Corinthian women, she says, I am desolate, alone, and alien here. I know just how you feel, Medea.
Yes, so do I think.
No wonder I was good in the part. Oh, what am I going to do?
Honey, why don't you ask that nice policeman, the one you live with. He probably won't have the answer, but he'll tell you that he loves you. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it isn't. But it's probably the only one you'll ever get.
I'll buy that. I guess I can get along on that. For today, anyhow. Ask me again. Tomorrow.
The great philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who died at the start of this century, who had such great aspirations for mankind and such disappointment in himself that he went mad. He had this to say about thoughts of suicide, that they were a way to get you through the night. True or not, profound or not, comforting or not, it's still an amusing way of looking at the whole problem, don't you think? Or do you? I'll be back shortly.
Hello, I'm Dolly Parton. Have you ever watched a weaver at his trade? Shuttles weaving faster and faster on the loom, creating a design where none has been before. And come to think of it, life's pattern is woven in just the same way. Born of many different threads, meeting, merging, spinning out the small fabric of our existence, the March of Dimes is trying to create a better fabric of life, free from the tragedy of birth defects, a life which ensures every newborn the right to the most precious heritage of all, good health at birth. Medical service programs, scientific research, public education, all are part of the March of Dimes fight against this number one health problem for our nation's children. But a weaver, any weaver, needs help along the way. And birth defects are forever, unless you help. Help weave a tomorrow full of bright promise for our next generation. A tomorrow without handicaps at birth. Please, give to the March of Dimes. Thank you.
Trust we haven't depressed you with our little tale of attempted suicide. Personally, I don't find it depressing at all, either the story or the fact. It's another reflection of man's wish to have his say in the big crises of his life. And like so many of his ardent human wishes, he is often deterred not by morality, not by illegality, not by any deep considerations, but by the pathetic and very endearing fear of simply failing and looking ridiculous. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Mandel Kramer, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
And now, a preview of our next tale.
Come away, dear. This is no place for a little girl.
It's all right. I don't have to cry anymore now.
What do you mean, now?
I mean now that I know Mr. Charles hasn't really gone away. He just talked to me and told me I shouldn't be afraid. Would you excuse me, please? I have to go upstairs to my room and think about all the things he told me.
Is that child all right?
I don't know. The three people she loved most in the world taken away from her in less than a year. I'm not wise enough to know what that might do to the mind of a child, especially one as sensitive as her.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Radio 97, Bill Garrity and the Moon Watch after CBS News at 12 midnight.
CBS News. Argentine President Isabel Perón weathers one storm, but faces a bigger one that could sweep her out of office. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Argentine Chamber of Deputies met well into the morning in a special session called to consider opposition party proposal for deposing Mrs. Perón from the presidency. The Chamber of Deputies defeated an impeachment bill by a vote of 120 to 70. That attempt came from the Popular Federal Force Party, a small opposition political force. But Argentina's largest opposition party, the left-of-center radicals, has set into motion machinery designed to remove Mrs. Perón from office without lengthy impeachment proceedings. The radicals announced they are formally asking for a convocation of a legislative assembly today, empowered to declare the president unfit to rule and name a successor. CBS News continues following this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
A familiar sports term, momentum, has found its way into the speech of the two winners of the New Hampshire primary. Former Georgia Governor Jimmy Carter said his 30% showing gave him tremendous momentum, and he predicted a first ballot nomination at the Democratic National Convention. President Ford saying he was very happy with his 51% to 49% win over Ronald Reagan added, "With the momentum we have, I'm confident we'll end up in Kansas City with a good victory, and November 2nd with a bigger one." Speaking to some 400 editors and publishers of Midwest daily newspapers late yesterday, President Ford said he thought when the Democrats get through all those gyrations of primaries, Hubert Humphrey will probably be the nominee. But one major Humphrey supporter thinks that will take some action from the senator, as we hear in this report from Rich Holder of CBS radio affiliate WCCO in Minneapolis.
Minnesota Governor Wendell Anderson, whose first and second choice for president is Hubert Humphrey, still feels the former vice president will have to actively seek the nomination in order to be the party's nominee. Anderson told a Capitol News conference that he found widespread support for Humphrey among the nation's Democratic governors at the National Governors Conference in Washington.
I think it would be accurate for me to report that among the Democratic governors, and we did meet in Washington on Monday, there was a tremendous amount of interest, sentiment, affection on the part of the Democratic governors for Mr. Humphrey. But that doesn't convert itself into delegates when you do not have an announced candidate.
Governor Anderson says he sees Minnesota's non-candidate reassessing the national situation after the early primaries along about mid-April, at which time he hopes Hubert Humphrey will actively enter the race for the presidency. Rich Holter for CBS News, Minneapolis.
Democratic candidates, scarcely pausing to catch their breaths, have plunged into campaigning for votes in the Massachusetts primary next Tuesday. Many, no doubt, wish there were more hours in the day to aid and abet their efforts. The Senate is working on a proposal to extend daylight saving time, although not with campaigning in mind. Still, there is a controversy whether the present 6 months of longer daylight hours should be kept or should be extended to 8 months. Senator Robert Dole seeks to split the difference with 7 months of daylight saving time.
We understand that the majority of people probably like daylight saving time, but when you weigh the equities and consider the farmers, the plight of the farmers, or anyone who works out of doors, not just farmers, construction workers, or anyone who has outdoor work, school children, the fact that little if any energy is saved, there just aren't many arguments for the 8 months.
Now this.
Suppose you turn out to be the innocent spouse on a fraudulent income tax return. Is there a way out for you? I'm Ray Brady, CBS News financial reporter, and I'll tell you how to free yourself from someone else's mistake on Your Tax Dollars, the next big weekend special from CBS News, March 6th and 7th. In 30 special broadcasts, you'll hear about Your Tax Dollars, Saturday and Sunday, March 6th and 7th, coming on most of these CBS radio network stations.
Are you confused by ads that compare one product to another? This is Gene King of the Council of Better Business Bureaus advising you to use judgment when you shop. Comparative advertising can be helpful to the consumer, but it can also present problems. For example, one company will compare its product to its competitors by singling out one particular feature. But this one feature doesn't necessarily mean that its product is better than the other companies at all. The National Advertising Review Board is looking into this problem right now.
The movie The Hindenburg has been declared the winner of two Oscars even before the official ceremonies. The film about the last voyage of the huge German dirigible has been selected to receive special awards for achievements in visual effects and sound effects. The actual Oscars will be presented along with all the others on the night of March 29th. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
6 minutes after 12 midnight on Music Radio 97... For a Thursday morning, February 26th. Good morning, my name's Bill Garrity. This is the Moon Watch. I'll have local news for you at 12:30.
K-O-I-N.
give her all the love I have to give, as long as we both shall live. Oh, Venus, make my wish come
Frankie Avalon and Venus. 9.5 minutes after 12 midnight with Bill Garrity on the Moon Watch. Let's take a look at the weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver. Showers heavy at times today. Showers mixed with snow over higher elevations. Scattered showers and clearing periods tonight and Friday. Lows 35 to 40 degrees, highs 45 to 50. South winds at 15 to 25 miles per hour and gusty near the showers. Chance of measurable precipitation near 100% today, 80% tonight. 35 degrees in downtown Portland. You know, what goes up must...